if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 361. This is our 2025 John Deere Classic plus BMW International Open Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this week's PGA and DP World Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit gambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world-famous Golf Betting System website, where we have in-depth betting previews for both the John Deere Classic and the BMW International Open. Paul has been busy in the stats lab, pulling together masses of data. We've got TPC Deere Run strokes gained rankings. We've got detailed form, event and combi sheets, plus, of course, new and old style predictor models for both events. All of our content is available completely free of charge. There is no paywall. There is no registration required. On X, Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. Paul and I are also on Blue Sky. Search for Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where this podcast is available each and every week. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are. This one, chaps, is from Tommy G. Tommy G is in Savannah, in Georgia, United States. Now, I'm making a few changes to this particular review because I think Tommy's got slightly confused. It will all become clear. Entitled, Williams Knows Ball. Hello, chaps. It is Tommy G ringing in from Savannah, Georgia, United States of America. I am so happy to announce that I picked my first winner this year, 60-1, because of this podcast. If it weren't for Williams' analysis, I would never have thought to pick Mr. Fox at the RBC Canadian Open. It was great battle between Sam Burns and Mr. Fox after four long playoff holes, but Fox came out on top after finally deciding to go for it in two. Despite the huge win, I love listening to Steve's takes too. Tell him to pick at least three guys. It's depressing when he chooses just one. I think what he's done here, he actually entitled this Bamford Knows All, but clearly I didn't put her up. I think, Paul, he's getting confused between you and me. But anyway, We're getting there. This podcast also helps me craft up great DraftKings lineups, and I would like to hear more of your great value picks, Paul. I can't thank the team enough. From the predictor models to the study of the rough lengths and tee times, this podcast should be more well known. Tommy, thank you for your very detailed and very upbeat five-star review.
Yeah, thanks, Tommy. I suspect, clearly the Fox tip or the Fox selection was from me, but maybe there's a little bit of confusion in there, but regardless, what a shot that was by Ryan Fox to turn the screw ultimately at that tournament a couple of weeks back. And very nice to see and hear that you managed to snare the winner too, so all good.
No mention of you, Barry.
No, but I just want to say thanks very much for making Steve say Faja, Georgia. Georgia.
Jaja. Brilliant. Oh, God. Oh, brilliant. Right, let's go on to last week. Barry, do you want to explain what happened to the listeners? They're completely in the dark
They're completely in the dark. Well, I was too on last week's pod and made a little run through Twitter later that day, and somebody, I saw a couple of other golf accounts were posting about Potgieter and a good chance at the course, and I went, oh God, yeah, this could this could be the redemption arc for him. So popped a little bet on him and at 100-1. So it was a great week, and it felt even better because he beat your guy Chris Kirksteed. So man, do you know what? Once he got into the playoff, I felt like something was kind of destined, like the circle was going to come back around for him after that pretty bad beat in the playoff earlier this year. So he kept dodging bullets and kept making the putts to keep himself in it, and then rolled in an absolute beauty on the fifth hole. He looked really good.
Yeah.
Bit of a wobbly start on Sunday, but man, when the pressure was on, it kind of...
He's a player, isn't he?
It'll be interesting to see where he can go now. I mean, his cruisy swing, he's just popping out 192 ball speed. Like, it's unbelievable.
Mm. Yeah, there's a high ceiling there, isn't there? People been kind of talking about him and suggesting that he'll do well for a little while. I mean, he played well. Was it the Ned Bank, I think, at the back end of last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had a run on the DP. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, at that point, it was a pretty unknown, but he's one of these modern-style golfers, isn't he? Comes through, absolutely hits the ball a mile, can putt a bit. Seems to be the streaky kind of sort, doesn't he? So, a lot of miscuts, and then finished sixth at Colonial, wasn't he, on his previous start. But then nothing for a month. I know when he started quickly, you said, Barry, that, you know, obviously done nothing or not even played for a month and then can suddenly come out of the traps with a round like that. And, kept it going.
You know me, I like to... this is the official Aldridge Pocketa podcast. We've been talking about him for months. And it would have been absolutely perfect for none of us to have been on him the week that he broke his PGA Tour maiden. So, Barry, congratulations. You actually saw the light post-pod. Well done.
I got very lucky. Thank you.
I'm glad for that. It would have been gutting if none of us would have been on Pot Geeta the week he actually won.
And it felt so random because he'd been off for so long that I didn't even mention it to you guys in our group. So, a little bit of revenge because sometimes you guys have put a sneaky bet on somebody and don't mention it and then they're in the running. So... Maybe we should just be more friendly with our chats and tips with each other.
Sharing.
The reason he hadn't played since Colonial, where he finished sixth, was the typical reason why I put a pen for his line. So he'd actually hit the ball well on approach. I think he was sixth for tee to green. He was sixth across the tournament. And I'm like, well, no one's ever had that gap and won this tournament before. Line. So, it was a bombers track at the end of the day. And of course... the longest hitting player on the PGA Tour won the event. But I think there's more to his game. The other thing is, he's a quick learner, isn't he? That situation he had in Mexico a few months ago when he was leading and Brian Campbell came and stole the title. This time around, he gets over the line. So there's progress coming with Pocketa. You could see him being an elite President's Cup, international level player with no trouble at all. Just with the talent that's there.
Seriously. Some raw talent.
I think he could sharpen up the short game a little bit. My God, then it's that he's some weapon because he's a very good putter. And with that long game, man, it's a dangerous combination.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But unlucky on Kirk, Steve, because he did have a good chance to win as well, didn't he?
I didn't stay up until whatever time it was in the morning watching it, and I refused to watch the YouTube highlights of the playoff, so I've got no idea. Apparently, he had a putt to win, didn't he? And he missed.
Yeah, 9-footer save, but as Barry said, Pocketa managed to dodge those bullets and come out on top.
I think Kirk was a good pick. He was a logical pick. That's kind of what he does. He fires. You see an upward shift in his game and then he can convert. That reminded me of when he won at Plantation a few years ago. Hadn't done a great deal, 16th, 17th, and then bang. I think he won that at, it was like 30 under par or something. He can go super low, Chris Kirk. I think he fits quite nicely this week as well, but more of that later. What happened in Europe then, Paul? Take us through the Italian Open. What did you think to the course, firstly? It seemed to be a lot of rough there.
Yeah, it was. It was quite a bit more penal than expected, really. And you know, I'd said before that I thought, given the conditions and what had been seen previously on the Challenge Tour, I thought that they'd get to maybe 18, 20 under par, and that's kind of how I pitched my team. And reality was they were struggling to break into double figures. It was the rough was really thick, and there were a lot of double bogeys and worse out there. So it was just keeping a lid on scoring all the way through. But then you had Adrien Sadier came through and won. And that was nearly entirely due to the putter. I mean, he gained nearly 12 strokes putting on the week, which with any kind of average kind of performance from tee to green is gonna put you in the mix most weeks, I think. So yeah, and that was his 200th start. So you know, should there be some kind of, I don't know, what wouldn't be biorhythms, Barry, would it? But some kind of
anniversary buzz.
Yeah, anniversary factor. Strokes.
Barry, you'll be proud of me this week. I've got a biorhythms pick.
There we go, Steve. Let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens when he misses the cut, yeah?
Yeah.
I've got a biorhythm. I'm quite excited by my biorhythms pick. We'll get into that in a short while. Yes.
I think, ultimately it was a result for the bookies because despite the fact that he played well early in the season, finished third in Singapore, fifth in India, coming into this, 56th withdrawn, missed cut. And 50-1 offered very little in terms of juice. So, yeah, I didn't see many, if any, betting slips on him at all. So, yeah, one to write off. And thankfully, when we get to the BMW International Open, we're going to a course that we've seen before. So we might have a chance of knowing what to expect on the week. But yes, well
you're
done,
talking
Adrien
about
Sadier.
You're talking about hot putting. Those three that got into the playoff last week, Max Grazeman, of his 12.72 strokes gained in Detroit, he gained 8.83 with the putter. That's mad.
Mm.
66 going on for 70% with the putter.
Yep.
That's incredible. Mm. Another thing of note, and this is something that I think we should all bear in mind, the key number that grabbed me from the morning analysis after the end of the Rocket Classic. Matt Fitzpatrick topped tee to green. He gained 11.87 strokes from tee to green in Detroit last week. He lost 2.15 with the putter. He was negative with the putter for 3 of 4 rounds in Detroit. Still finished 8th. He topped tee to green, beating Pat Gita by 0.9 of a stroke from tee to green.
Yeah.
Colin Morikawa was at 10.45. So Fitzpatrick is starting to fire. And actually, in this world where we've got Thomas Dietrich within the qualification spots, Matt Wallace, we know that Rahm's going to get a pick, so there's one of the captain's picks gone. Rasmus Højgaard isn't exactly tearing up trees at the moment. I think Fitzpatrick with a really strong end to the season. Bearing in mind, we've got a major coming up in a couple of weeks' time, and I don't think Fitzpatrick is a bad shout for an Open Championship. I think Fitzpatrick could still get in this Ryder Cup team if he continues this development that we're seeing with his game right now. He's starting to find it at the right time.
Yeah, he did. And the eyeball test, certainly, as you say, for the first 3 days, tells you that he putted really, really poorly. But should he have found something that final day, and should he be able to continue that momentum, then yeah, the rest of his game's looking pretty tip-top.
He finished 8th, and if you take the whole field of 156 players, he was 122nd for putting at a birdie fest.
Yeah.
And finished T8.
Mm.
So, there we go. Fitzpatrick one to keep an eye on, I think, moving forward.
Mm.
Right, before we move on to the John Deere Classic, want to point out again, thank you to all of you that subscribed last week on the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where you're consuming this podcast. I've got one more favour, We are at 4,999 subscribers as we record this podcast. So please show some respect for the three presenters and all the effort that we put in. Just all we need from you, press the subscribe button and make sure your notifications are switched on. We've also got our Open Championship Research podcast and our Open Championship Tips podcast coming up very, very soon. So press the subscribe button and you will not miss it. Right, John Deere Classic. I know we're under time pressure this week, gentlemen. Very, very quick synopsis of the course. We see it every year. TPC Deer Run, Sylvie, Illinois. It's upstate golf again. Bent grass greens, 5,500 square feet, medium to small. They are always super receptive. 7,289 yards, it's a par 71. So it's short, it's gettable. It's just another, it's very, very, very similar to what we saw last week at the Rocket Mortgage. It's just one less par 5. Not that really matters. Davis Thompson won here last year at 28 under par. Other scores, winning scores here have been 21 Stracker, 21 Poston, 19 The Glove, Dylan Fratelli at 21, and Michael Kim, 27. So it's going to be sub 20 under, no doubt. Don't see a lot in the weather to suggest it won't be. Could be a lot of wind on Saturday, might slow it slightly. But apart from that, there's a risk of thunderstorms as well over the weekend. I don't think the course is going to be firm and fast in any way. I don't think the greens are going to release. It's going to be a wedge and putting fest. When I look at the strokes gain numbers just week on week, comparing the Rocket Mortgage last week. And by the way, Barry, Pot Geeta did win it in a very, very consistent way to how it's been won in the past. Max Graseman winning last week would have been completely atypical. But Pot Geeta, 3.7 off the tee, 6 on approach, 1.1 around the greens. He was 10.9 from tee to green, ranked second. And he made, slightly down on putting actually, he made 1.79 strokes with the putter, where before that, the lowest had been 3 strokes. But his, it was just his tee to green game was very, very exceptional. This week, if we're just comparing like for like, less importance off the tee. We've got less importance with the approach play, which is hard to understand, but around the green seems a lot more important this week. 22% of winners' totals over the last 4 champions here have been with the around the green. But this is the key here. Where we're looking at Rocket Mortgage, 75% split tee to green, 25% putter. This week at the John Deere Classic, we're looking at 68% tee to green, 32% with the putter. Straka won here with a 53-47 split. I mean, that's pretty mad. Thompson last year, 60% tee to green, 40% with the putter. But we've also seen non-putters win here. Glover, when he won, 77% tee to green, 23% with the putter. And Poston, even more extreme, 86% tee to green and only 14% with the putter with Poston, who you'd have down as a very, very good streaky putter, but he didn't need to do it that way. Yeah. So yeah. There are ways and means. I do think it's a course where accuracy is more important than outright power, which is slightly not where we were last week, where Pot Geeta clearly won the longest. But then he was in a, you know, he was in a playoff with Kirk, who is hardly the longest of the tee. I genuinely think, again, this is a course where one fits all. You've just got to be extremely good with your approach play. If you can have a few chip-ins, even better. But negative strokes gain putting here will not suffice. You've got to, and this is even if your tee to green game this week is tip-top, you've still got to be making a minimum 0.6 on the greens each and every round. Davis Thompson last year was gaining closer to 2 strokes per round with the putter. So Matt Fitzpatrick, again, if he was losing 0.215 strokes on the greens across the 4 days, you're not winning the John Deere Classic.
No.
We need guys that can make 8, 9, 10, 12, 15-foot putts. Don't make bogeys. And if you can chip in and, you know, get the odd 60-foot bonus putt for eagle, bang on. Hard to predict, I'll give you that, but bonus putting wouldn't be a bad stat to look at this week. Players that can literally just ram in the odd 55, 45-foot putt.
Yeah, try predicting that one.
Mm. I'm sure there's a model out there that has bonus putting. I hear about it regularly. Thompson 30-1, Straka 50-1, Poston 50-1, Glover 55-1, Fritelli 90-1, the last five winners. I've gone for six. I'm getting bored of finishing second. I've gone completely, absolutely Magnolia. Let's just make it as obvious as possible and try and actually... I think I'm like Matt Kuchar. I need about 33 T2s before I finally get one over the line. Something really weird has happened with Betfred on their pricing this week as well. I'm literally on the Betfred's website at the moment and I'm seeing some players that are the same price in their five places market as their eight places market.
I've noticed that with a few of the bookies, when they've got the different different markets for places, you could get the same price for eight as you do for 10. So,
Michael, here you go. Here's an example. Michael,
smile and take it.
Michael Thorbjørnsen, five places each way, a quarter of the odds, 35-1. I scan down to their eight places market. Eight places, 35-1. Which is a bloody good price when I got him at 28-1.
Mm. Yeah, perhaps they've got the work experience boy doing the odds this week. Perhaps it'll correct. But yes, while the odds are there, then it's well worth taking.
It's not on every player though, so it's a bit weird. Yeah, it's not across the board. So something's going strangely wrong. Right. I've got 1.5 points each way on four players. They're all 28-1. Well, in fact, they're not. There's one at 30s. One is Michael Thorbjørnsen. One is Chris Kirk. Been here before. Finishes T2. Wins the week after. One is Jake Knapp. I'll be interested for Barry's feedback on Knapp. His play last week from Friday through to Sunday was just unbelievable. And I also put in there Kevin Yu. I got him. These are all with Bet365. I got 30-1 eight places each way on Kevin Yu, who has been sneakily good recently. Thorbjørnsen, to me, is the Davis Thompson model from last year. Finished second in Detroit, did Thompson, and then took out his maiden title. I think Thorbjørnsen, who was fourth last week and coming here to a course where he finished in the top four or five last year, is just one of those obvious ones that slaps you in the face. Get on board quickly because he's 35-1, eight places each way with Betfred. Chris Kirk, I mean, what do I need to say about Chris Kirk? He did nothing wrong last week. He didn't nail a nine-footer in the playoff. Just look at the start of last year. I think he was third in the Sony. Third at the Amex. And then he took out the Honda Classic or the Cognizant Classic one after that. He can string together these performances. The thing I like about Kirk, this top 70 in the PGA Tour is very, very important. It gets you into the playoffs. That's the key. And you can just see a host of quality players in this field. So I'll take you Echeverria, Yu, Mitchell, Cole, Smalley, Kirk and Thompson are just inside the 70 bubble. Just outside the 70 bubble. Hitsatsuni, Fowler, Villips, Bezuidenhout, Falamaki, Matt McCarty. Now, Kirk plays this week, doesn't play the Scottish Open, goes to the Open Championship. He's in 69th spot right now. If he doesn't go well this week, can't guarantee anything at the Open, let's be frank. He could be in a situation where he's outside the top 70, flying back to the United States. He's then got to play the 3M Open and the Wyndham Championship. When you look at his results of both courses, hardly stellar. So I just think he must be in a space where he knows he's got to go deep 2 weeks on the trot to guarantee that top 70 spot for the playoffs. So I think it's another big motivational thing for Kirk this week. So I'm on him at 28 as well. Jake Knapp. This was the number that got me from last week. He was 21 under par for the final 54 holes. That was 5 clear of anybody else in that field last week in Detroit. Yeah. That's mad. And the thing I liked about Knapp, we've said that he can be... I mean, he's clearly a winner on the PGA Tour, won in Mexico last year, but he hasn't been super sticky on a Sunday. He got grouped with Mark Hubbard in the second final group in Detroit. Now, Mark Hubbard did his usual in contention capitulation, because he tends to do that every time he's in a... I might add him to the post-it note of doom, but the trouble is with Mark Hubbard, I'll never actually back him, so it's difficult to put him on there. But Jake Knapp shot a very strong final 68, 6 birdies, only missed out on the playoff by 1 shot. So that showed me progress on a Sunday for Knapp. So I'm on Knapp, and I'm also on Kevin Yu. Very, very strong player from tee to green. We've noted this on the podcast for a couple of years. He's ranked 14th and 32nd for tee to green over the last 2 seasons on the PGA Tour. Elite stuff. But listen to this, chaps. 191st and 153rd for putting those 2 years as well. Mm. Couldn't hit a barn door with a banjo with a putter. This last few weeks, though, he's been really, really... He's gained, on average, over a stroke with the putter per round. And he's still hitting the ball very, very nicely from tee to green. So he's had a 4th at Myrtle Beach, a 3rd at the RBC Canadian Open, and he was 25th last time out at the Travellers in a signature event-level field. So I'm on Kevin Yu, whose form here reads 6th in 2023 and 20th last year. I could see Yu getting his second PGA Tour win this week as well. Right, where are you two coming in?
Yeah, I've got one in the same kind of bracket and then 280 to 1 or longer.
Barry?
I've kind of fancied Tor Bjornsson and Knapp as well this week, Steve. Mm. Both
come,
just line
come to
up
the ride
very well. Recent form, you know, and it feels like you want to just be playing some hot golf coming in here, even if the course you might not have had the best record. Just got to be kind of honest. Get those approach shots in there tight. Make a load of birdies. Mm-hmm. So, agreed. Yeah, who better? Just ride the hot hands.
I'll tell you what backs that up quickly. If I look at the John Deere Classic, players that have ranked in my current form metric, Barry, last 8 weeks, the last 3 winners have ranked 8th, 9th and 3rd heading in. So in hot form. Hmm. Post an 8th, struck a 9th, DT last year, 3rd. And even Lucas Glover in 2021, was in the top 22 for strokes gained current form over the past 8 weeks heading in. So that's not a bad statistic to look at in my in-depth preview this week. Just for reference, Ben Griffin at 1, Pearson Coody 2, Aldridge Potgieter at 4, we've got Gutter up at 6, Hubbard and Thorbjørnsen at 7, Kevin Roy, Griot and Thorbjørn Olsen at 10, tied with JT Post and Andrew Putnam. What about you then, Paul? Who are you in at this kind of price range?
The one I backed is Denny McCarthy, 28.
Oh, no.
Well, I think...
Is this going to be the one, the 288th appearance for Denny and he finally gets over the line?
Yeah, but I think it's quite straightforward, the argument, because he's been playing well at a level higher than this. And, you know, arguably he's dropping down a little bit for this week's event. And I think he can go well. 8th at the PGA Championship, 12th at the Travellers last time out. both far stronger fields than he's going to be presented with here. And his last three attempts, 6th, 6th, 7th. So 28-1 when you get in, you know, 6 to 8 places, depends how you play it and the price you take. But I think, you know, there's a fair chance he's going to finish with inside that kind of top 6, top 8 kind of number. And I think there's a chance he does go and win that this week, Steve. He's got that hot putter, hasn't he?
18-1 with Ladbrokes, my God.
Yeah, I wouldn't be taking that, but yeah, there's plenty of 28s out there, so that feels acceptable to me for an each-way punt.
I've got to say, I would take Denny McCarthy at 28s rather than Siwoo Kim at 33s. Because as we know, Siwoo only wins on Bermuda for a start.
Mm.
Yeah, I can see Denny. Yeah, on a putting circuit, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have a putter on board, would it?
No. And actually, his long game, particularly at the Travellers, was really strong. It was his putting, if anything, that stopped him finishing better than 12th. So, if he's back to type this week, it could be a strong week.
I've gone. This won't surprise anybody. I've gone for Lucas Glover. We know with Lucas, short courses, scorable courses, ticking the box for that. I'm not going to say that I'm just not going to say it because it'll put the absolute spanner in it. We know that his weakness is the putting. He hasn't. There was a couple of rounds, a third and fourth rounds. He was actually positive last time out with the putter. That was his best ever finish, top 10 at the Travellers last time. Clearly doesn't really get on with River Highlands, but finishing the top 10 last time out. And Barry, Biorhythms, listen to this. 4 of Glover's 6 wins have come between mid-June and mid-August.
Yeah?
Do you like that?
Steve, listen, I loved Biorhythms. I'm not sure about Glover. Like, since he had that like super hot streak a couple of years ago, it feels like the blips on the radar are not quite as hot, or they're not pinging as hot. I don't know. Not for me this week.
He can string together top finishes consistently over a period of time. You know, he's another one that goes, you know, an 8th, a 6th, a 4th, da da da, win. Or whatever, he can, once he finds the putter, his tee to green game is so consistent and good.
That's fair.
I don't know. You just look at his predictor model stats. I know Paul does this quite a lot. 9th for par 71 results. He's 7th in this field for bent grass results. 4th for resort scoring tests. And 2nd in the whole field for short course results over the last 5 years.
Mm.
I just thought 40-1 wasn't a bad price on Glover.
Yeah.
No, 8 places each way I got that with Bet365. I got one left, and he's a 50-1 chance. So, shall I clear that one out, or do you want to jump in, Barry, with another selection before we go on to Paul's?
I've one higher one at the moment, higher than 50.
I've gone for Nika Echeverria. I got 50-1, 8 places each one with Bet365. 2-time winner on the PGA Tour. You might remember he won in Japan last year. Sub 7,000 par 72 tree line bent grass greens. Both of his wins have been at 20 under or lower. And I think he's a little, well, he's not as consistent as Denny McCarthy, Paul. And he's by no way at that level of golf that Denny is more consistently. You know, if you look at the data golf rankings or the world rankings. But I think Nico's a very similar player. If he's got his approach play right, he's 5th on tour for strokes gained putting this year.
Mm.
So if his wedges are in order and he's hitting the ball close enough, consistently enough, and not... I would take a 0 week off the tee from Nico any day of the week this week. As long as the approaches are good. The rest of his game is fantastic. I thought 50-1 and Echeverria, who's a guy who, don't forget, this year has already finished 2nd at the Sony Open. He finished 2nd at the RSM Classic, the last event of last season. And he's been there or thereabouts like all year. He was in the top 10 heading into Sunday at Torrey Pines, Copperhead, Memorial Park, Augusta National, believe it or not, in the top 10 at the Masters heading into Sunday, TPC Craig Ranch. So he's been there or thereabouts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Echeverria, who, as I said, he's kind of in the danger zone. His top 70 spot isn't guaranteed at all. Would not be surprised if Echeverria pops up. He was in the top 10 last week, I believe, again. So those are my... Is it six? Yeah. Echeverria, Glover, Kevin Yu, Jake Knapp, Chris Kirk and Michael Tjor Bjornsson. Right, Paul, your bigger prices. Are you going to say Christian Bezuidenhout?
No, but one of his countrymen. I'm going to stick with Tristan Lawrence at 80-1. I think the point that you made about the course this week and the course last week being having enough similarities to carry over form, I think is of relevance. And again, going back to the predictor model variables, they're very consistent from week on week, which tells me that there is a strong level of consistency between the two. And of course, Tristan last week finished eighth, or tied for eighth for me. So I've got a little bit of each way money back on him, but it could have been so much better. But seems to be rounding into form. 12th at the US Open, 8th last week, as I say. Really strong long game stats last week. 12th off the tee, 7th approach, 6th for strokes gained, tee to green. If he'd have putted to anything like his normal level, then he'd have won that tournament. He'd have won it by a fair number of shots, I think. He missed a 7-footer and a 6-footer his first two holes coming out on Sunday, which would have put him in the tie for the lead. And he missed some putts coming home. He made a few 8-10 footers as well, but he missed some. He could have won that. He could have won that last week. And I'm going to take him on debut this week because I think he can go well.
Debutants have one here. The last one being South African Dylan Fratelli.
Yep.
Yeah, like that. Like that selection.
Perhaps that'll spurring up. Go on, Barry.
I'm with you on Lawrence. Yeah, just. I feel like kind of similar, you know, carrying over what you have from last week. There's a bit of space in the fairway here. The long game is good. Yeah, why not? The guy's just playing really good golf at the moment. Yeah. And the little kind of countryman bump as well, just the country, you know, fellow countryman motivation. So that's a nice price as well. I was just thinking, Steve mentioning Glover at 35 or 40 to 1. I was like, well, like you get Lawrence at twice the price and he's playing way better.
Mm. Yeah, I think he's got a chance, Tristan, this week. So, yeah, fingers crossed. And hopefully if he gets into the places at least, then he gets a full each-way payout this week. That would be nice. Mm. The other one I've backed, and someone not making his debut, is Sammy Valimaki at 90-1. He's been nibbled in a little bit, actually. So there's been some support for him since yesterday. 12th last year. He gained nearly 8 strokes putting last year when he made his debut here for a tie for 12th. And playing some nice stuff this year as well. 4th at the Houston Open, 7th at Myrtle Beach. We've talked about him a few times on this podcast, actually, because he has been playing some half-decent stuff. Had a month off and then finished 19th last week and putted really nicely. 22 birdies and an eagle. I think if he brushes up on the par fives this week, then he could be dangerous, Sammy Valimaki.
Interesting, Paul. He was kind of one that was I was debating. When was his last win? 2023. Interesting.
But yes, I mean, we've touched on a few points over the last 2 or 3 months where we've, you know, just looked at some of his long game stats in particular and thought, well, you know, Sammy's playing well. And he's coming to a course where he really took to the greens on first look last year. So potentially tie all that together and an explosive week could be in the offing. You never know.
He never went to bloody Puerto Rico, the city boy, did he? When he was absolutely in red. To be fair, he was. If you were offered a signature event or Puerto Rico Open, you'd probably take the signature event.
Yeah, chase the money, yeah. Wouldn't you?
He's interesting, very interesting. Barry, before you disappear, more selections?
No, I might join you on that one, Paul Valimaki. I was wondering, and I just having your much deeper research than mine have a look at it and pick him gives me a lot more confidence. So
go for
it. I'll join another 80 to 1 thereabouts. So
yep in that kind of bracket, depending how you play it with each way places, but yes. Yeah, certainly backable from an each way perspective.
We know you've got to go, Barry, so we wish you the very best for your tips this week.
You too, boys. Listeners as well. Good luck with the tips. Good luck with the bets.
We will see you next week, undoubtedly.
For the Scottish Open.
Take care, Barry. See you soon.
Cheers.
Anyone else, Paul, that would take your fancy in terms of... Because people do keep asking, if you were scanning down the field from a DraftKings perspective or... You know, a long shot, big price. Is there anyone else that's just taken your fancy, particularly this week, a deeper price?
Well, not particularly. Could be a DK deeper price. But the one that I struggled to get away from was JT Poston. So going back towards the top. And the reason for that is, again, going to your point about kind of picking the or averaging all of the different variables that filter into an event and all of the specific variables for this event that we build into the predictor model. And JT Poston was just all over it, literally all over it. Now, that makes a level of sense because he's won here in the recent past, so you're going to have some bias there. But that's not the entire story. This kind of course undoubtedly plays to his strengths. And yeah, I guess if we were able to build a DraftKings team, Steve, wouldn't you remember those days when we were allowed to do it?
Oh, I know.
If I were building a team, then yeah, I think I'd be hard pressed not to have JT Poston in there as part of the strategy this week.
I've got no idea what his price will be on DK. I know from an odds perspective he's in a similar kind of area to Sami Valimaki, but I think Matt McCarty could go well this week. Fourth at the Canadian Open, 19th at the Rocket Classic last week. Nothing stellar from tee to green, but again, another guy that around the green, a little bit of the magic beans and a superb putter. And don't forget that win that he got at the end of last year when only his second PGA Tour start? Those were bent grass greens.
Yep.
So I think McCarty at a deeper price wouldn't be a bad shout, or a DraftKings play. Austin Eckroat's another one that's kind of just bubbling under slightly.
He popped up the other day, didn't he?
Did he lead at the Travelers after round one or something crazy?
He did. He shot a really, really strong first round, didn't he? And again, is that kind of, he's like your Lucas Glover sort, isn't he? He's straight and then occasionally finds something with a putter.
Yes.
And when he does, the scoring just explodes.
Absolutely. I tell you what I didn't do at the top of the show, and I'm not going to do it full stop, is there wasn't much movement on the Ryder Cup last week. So that's the reason that I didn't do that. Ben Griffin's still in seventh. He's the favourite this week.
Apart from that, we'll get much more movement over the next fortnight, won't we? With the Scottish and then the Open Championships, and some big points up for grabs those 2 weeks.
Right, take us on, Paul. Take us ever onwards. The golf betting pod, the golf betting system podcast. It never ends. It's week after week after week. BMW International Open. Now, I've been looking forward to this tournament. It's the emergence of Sergio Garcia back on the DP World Tour. So take us through. And it's also a very interesting field. So on you go, please.
Yeah, it is an interesting
Patrick field. Reed as well. I forgot about him. The winner last week on LIV.
Yeah, we've got a few different names at the top of the market, haven't we? So Patrick Reed, as you said.
I thought that was typical. None of us had a penny on him, of course.
No, well, yeah.
We've been harking on about him all year.
Yeah, he'd been playing well, and his long game metrics did. I'm sure I read that he won that last week at LIV Dallas with a negative strokes gained putting performance, which is the first in his career.
Okay.
And certainly isn't aligned with how you expect Patrick Reed to perform and to win his golf tournaments. But again, that's something that we've observed and something that we've commented on, and a reason why we've been quite keen on him at the major championships this far, or so far this season. But yeah, Patrick Reed, I mean, he's been plumped straight in at the top of the market this week, 12-1, and quite rightly so, I guess, given the relative strength of him and his
game.
Here you
go, I can back you up, Paul. Mm. He gained 1.1 off the tee last week, 1.9 with the approaches, 0.5 around the greens, and yeah, negative putter, 0.72 negative on the greens. Still one.
Mm. Yeah, it's quite negative as well, isn't it? It's not just marginal. But yeah, it's it seems to have changed his game shape a little bit. I mean, we'll have wider Ryder Cup conversations as we go on the next few weeks, no doubt. But, you know, Reed is a massively interesting one. You know, should he win here this week? And that's got to ask some questions. Anyway, Patrick Reed, 12-1 favourite. David Puge, 16-1. Rasmus Nygaard Pettersson, 18-1. Matty Schmidt coming over from the PGA Tour, 28s. Sergio Garcia, as you mentioned, Steve, 28-1. There's, you know, it's a backable price if you do think that Sergio can step down to this level and step up to the plate. Jordan Smith then 28-1, the perennial favourite when we've not got these kind of players ahead of him in the market. Hao Tong Li 30-1, a previous winner here, 33-1 bar. So, as you alluded to, it is a stronger fielder than we have been seeing recently. And I guess what that has done is it's pushed a few prices out a bit further on, which I'll come to that when I come to my selections, because I think that does make for some juicy each way options. Boyle Sports, 8 places this week, a fifth of the odds. Betfred and Bet365 again have their 8 place options as ever, so do shop about before you place your bets. There are some good combinations of prices and places out there this week. Now, in terms of the course, we are returning to Golf Club München Eichenried, which is in Munich. Now, it's worth noting that the events played in 2012, 2014, 2016, 2018 on this week's stats were played over in Cologne. So if you're looking at the stats, then it's worth considering. But we have been here since 2019 onwards, just with a year off for COVID, of course. So there's been a nice consistent stretch of golf being played on this course. So we do have some stats and some history to go on this week, which is a nice starting point. It is a 7,354-yard par 72 Parkland-style course. We've got 4 mid-range par 5s, all of them scorable. We've got 2 short par 4s as well, which, depending on the tee position and the conditions, can present opportunities for the very longest of drivers to have a shy at the green. And it does set up for attacking golf, but it doesn't particularly suit any one particular type of golfer. And this what makes this event quite challenging, I guess, is that you can't pigeonhole the event, or can't pigeonhole a type of player into this particular event. It does produce different styles of golfer contending and winning. So, it's got to be down to gut feel to a certain degree, rather than just raw statistics this week, I think. The greens were relayed with bent grass, just for reference, back before the 2019 renewal, and they've bedded in nicely now, so they're not anywhere near as bouncy and a little bit more receptive now, so the scoring in regular conditions should be fairly low. Now, in terms of the conditions, we are expecting it to continue to be hot and sunny, as it has been over here in the UK. Absolutely sweltering this morning, Steve. I don't know about you, but it's like a sauna in this room.
You wouldn't want to see me right now, mate.
No, it's a good job it's not on video.
It is sweltering, yes.
And that the conditions are similar over there in Germany at the moment. It does look set to break down later on Thursday and into Friday, though, with thunderstorms. So where we were looking kind of mid-30s centigrade, so low to mid-90s Fahrenheit, that should all end with a bang either Thursday, late Thursday, or during the day on Friday. bring the temperatures back down to kind of 25 centigrade-ish, so kind of mid-70s Fahrenheit. And then the weekend, it will be nice, warm, sunny, but potentially, and depending how much rain they get from these thunderstorms, it could potentially be some soft conditions on the course over the weekend, especially if they do get quite a bit of rain from the thunder. So it could be lights out scoring over the weekend. We shall have to see. But yeah, it certainly does look like it's going to break down. And Friday could, you know, I don't like to put a dampener on it, but it could be a bit of a write-off if the thunderstorms do persist during the day. We shall see. In terms of the winners, going back to 2019, so the start of that consistent spell here, we had Andrea Pavan, 100-1. Victor Hovland won in 2021. At 13-2 as the favourite. 2022 was Hao Tong Li. We were on board at 66s. Tristan Lawrence, 100-1 in 2023. And then last year was Ewan Ferguson at 45-1. So some fairly juicy prices with the exception of Victor Hovland. And it does give you a bit of hope for picking these mid to longer prices this week. Scoring tends to be kind of around 15 to 22 under, depending on the prevailing conditions of the week. And I suspect, particularly if we do get that rain, then it could be towards the upper end of that. So 20, 22 under, something like that could be the winning score this week. Famous last words as they've probably grown the rough to 12 inches.
Potentially with the DP World Tour. You never know, do you?
You never do quite know. Variety of winners here, though, from the names that I mentioned just then and going back historically, and we've had a mix of high greens and regulation players. We've had a mix of good putters as well. One thing you do have to do is score heavily on the par fives. Typically, you're going to need to be able to shoot 12 under or better on the 16 looks at the par fives during the course of the week. And we've seen some spectacular scoring here on the par fives in the past. I'm sure Ryan Fox shot something like 17 under for the par fives over the course of 4 days, 2 or 3 years ago. It was madness. So that's one of the stats that you need to look at, I think. We have got strokes gained data going back on this. All of the winners were top 15 for strokes gained tee to green. All of them were top 12 for strokes gained putting. So if you want to be as simple as... or as focused as just pushing, putting strokes gained tee to green and strokes gained putting into your model this week, then you can have a list of names who are performing well on those particular stats. And I don't think that's a bad starting point, actually. I think that's a fairly good formula for success here in Munich this week. Incoming form of winners is really mixed, so not many clues there. In terms of the course form as well, it's not a great deal you can grab from that. Pavan had finished, he'd missed the cut on his only start here before winning. Tristan Lawrence had finished 36th. The other three most recent winners, Hovland, Hao Tong Li, and Ewan Ferguson, were all making their debuts when they won this event. So not one of those weeks where you can particularly grab the winner just by eyeballing the combination stat sheets, although, as ever, they're well worth a peruse, I think. I've backed four this week anyway. I've gone around the houses a little bit with it, and you could make a case for some of those guys at the top. And should a Patrick Reed or a David Puig win, or even a Sergio Garcia, then yeah, you could accept it, I guess. As I say, what it has done is it's pushed some of the prices out for some of these what I'd class as backable players that are in that kind of mid-range onwards in terms of pricing. And I've backed four players, or three of my four players are recent winners, and I've all got a lot to play for them in terms of their race to Dubai positions and grabbing one of these PGA Tour cards for next season. The first of whom is Eugenio Chacara, 35-1. He's been nibbled a little bit. I got 40-1 yesterday when he first opened. I guess he's probably going to end up 33-1 or shorter once the tournament starts, but yeah, I think he's got a great chance. Course debutant, but as I've said, that's not a huge negative here this week. And I'll maintain something that I've said a couple of times on these podcasts, that he's going to be a player playing on a bigger stage regularly before too long. And we'll be looking at some of these prices that we could get in relatively low grade events and wondering where they'd gone, because I think he's going to be that kind of player that pushes on to be a strong PGA Tour player of the future. Won the Indian Open back in March on debut, fourth and 11th in the two Chinese events after that. Off the boil a little bit after that, which is understandable after getting his first win. But back last week, seventh in Italy, second to halfway, first for strokes gained off the tee. For the season, second for strokes gained approach, ninth for tee to green, 18th for putting. I mean, that's a great combination of stats. And sitting there in 15th place in the race to Dubai, he's got that PGA Tour card in his sights. And I think he's going to be super motivated over the next few weeks and months to make sure that becomes a reality. So don't expect him to take his foot off the accelerator anytime soon. So Xhaka is in. I've also backed Nicolai von Dellingshausen at 55-1. And you have to go back to 2008 rather, to find the one and only German to have won this event. And that was Martin Kaymer. But perhaps that changes this week. Burst of life at the Austrian Open, a few weeks back. Putted lights out to win by two. Finished seventh at the KLM Open straight after that. And then fifth last week in Italy. I mean, he's really hit a purple patch of form just now. Sitting 17th in the race to Dubai. Again, he's got that card well within his sights. And has some course form as well. He finished 26th here back in 2017 on his debut. And that was when he was playing the Pro Golf Tour at the time. He won three times in a very short space of time on that circuit, which gives us some confidence that when he's hot, he is hot and can continue to maintain his form. Fifth here in 2022, I'm sure he'll fancy his chances this week. Be interesting to see how he performs in front of the home crowd. Another who'll fancy his chances this week is Christopher Redtan at 50-1 now. Again, there were some early 66s yesterday. He's been nibbled in, and quite rightly so. And I think it's the forecast that really swings it. Well, it swung it for me, and I suspect it's going to swing it for a few punters as well this week, as he's been producing these cracking finishes. And if the weekend sets up for some seriously low scoring, which I suspect it is or will do, then you know he could be the sort to absolutely scythe through the field and come out on top on Sunday. Second at the Hainan Classic, that was with a 66-67 weekend. Shot 62 to win the Sudal Open, as we know, and then shot 60 the week after in the final round to just miss out, finish second in the end there in Austria. So he's been producing these incredible finishes. Had a couple of weeks off and then finished 46th last week. I think he's ready to push on again. Seventh in the race to Dubai. So again, another one who's got this really big carrot dangling in front of him. And I see no reason why my first three selections shouldn't really push on or try and win this week. I think it's a massive opportunity for each of them. The final one I've backed, another Norwegian, and there's a bit of a resurgence with Norwegian golf, isn't there? Hovland, as we know, and in fact, Hovland's a course and event winner here. Christopher Reitan, I've just mentioned, then Andreas Halvorsen of BAT. 150-1 available right now with the extended places, and 200-1 available with bog standard. So some juicy prices out there for Andreas Halvorsen. Bit of an unknown quantity. Seems to have something about him, though. Twice a winner on the Nordic circuit in 2023. He won the Denmark Challenge on the Challenge Tour last year on what was just his fifth start at that level. And since hitting the DP World Tour, fifth in Mauritius, sixth in India, second to halfway last week, finished in 16th in the end, he finished last week, but second for strokes gained putting. And I think that's an important point coming into this. If he's putting well, then there is scope and space for someone to putt their way around this course this week. I think Andreas Halvorsen might just feature and might just sneak an each-way place this week at a juicy three-figure price. But then my four, Halvorsen, Christopher Redtan, Nicolai von Dellingshausen, and Eugenio Xhaka. Any picks for you, Stephen?
You're not going for either of the Bryan brothers?
No, I passed. You?
No. It'll be bombarding my YouTube feed of all their content from Germany. Mm. Here's me with a big sausage and all this kind of stuff. I backed him last week, and he didn't do a great deal. I thought he was going to miss the cut, but he managed to get in, and then he kind of levitated slightly. But it'd be my luck. So I think if we're going to get the super low scoring, potentially, especially at the weekend, it does make a lot of sense for Rattan. Mm. Rattan?
Yes. No, I agree.
Are there any bigger prices that you kind of interested in, potentially? Not that you can play DK anymore for DP World Tour, I suppose. Can you in the States? Who knows? I don't know. Idea. Yeah, I would have thought the pools are quite small.
Yeah, no, not really. The only one I vaguely toyed with was Dylan Nadeau, who's
okay. Yeah,
he's out there, kind of 500-1 bracket, 600-1 with Bet365 with a standard market. I couldn't quite pull the trigger, but in terms of a fantasy team, if you're getting, he'll be right down there in terms of the price. So you might just get a run for your money there. You might make the cut, or might make a top 20 or top 40, which could be a filler position for that kind of thing, I guess.
With Donald on the course, it does put in that he's clearly here, and he can watch a Puig, he can watch Sergio, he can watch Shakara, these guys that potentially could make a late run if he wanted to pull a stroke, and the Ludvig Åberg stroke Nikolaj Højgaard type pick from 2 years ago.
Yes.
He's on the property to see the real talent, and Nygaard Pettersson. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. It will be interesting to see who is paired with. Also of note is there's some Open Championship qualifying happening today. So some of these players, not a massive amount, but some of these players are playing over here in the United Kingdom in various locations, and then we'll be flying over to Germany after that. So should that impact your thought process, then well worth having a look on the Open Championship site to see if there's see if your players are playing or not. These are professionals, and they should be able to go out there and play and then jet across. But there's an argument to be made that there could be some fatigue, or conversely, that players who play well could come out and hit the ground running in Germany. It always does throw a little bit of a dilemma up when you have these events that are happening just before the main event on the DP World Tour. But yeah, well worth considering.
Well, thank you for your time. I hope your bets go well again, Paul. Mm. We've been on a half decent run as a group recently, so it'd be nice to have more players in the mix this week.
Yeah, hopefully. And if one of your boys gets in the mix, hopefully he can get over the line this week. Fingers crossed.
Let's hope so. Hope listeners' bets and teams go well. Next week we have the Genesis Scottish Open. Would be the correct title?
Yep. Yeah, cracking field.
The ISCO Championship, just to throw a real curveball in there, has moved golf courses just to really muddy the waters. But we got the ISCO, which will see a mix of DP World and PGA Tour, the lower likes, over in Kentucky. So that's our action for next week. I hope all of your bets and teams go well. We'll see you again then. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system, the golf.